Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Portions of Riggs Off the Radio are powered by GargleWithGravy.com. It's mouthwash that you can swallow because it's delicious pork gravy. It's the greatest product that doesn't exist. And 3 out of 4 dentists say that it's terrible for you. Trust the fourth dentist and go to GargleWithGravy.com.
The following may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
What you're about to hear is the inside leftovers from Riggs's brain throughout his day.
Since you probably hear everything that happens on the radio,
and this is the stuff that happens off the radio.
Riggs Off the Radio. Now here's your host.
Here we go. It's episode number 4, Riggs Off the Radio. Hi. Thanks for tuning back in. This week we'll talk to my wife. I wanted to introduce you to my wife. She's an interesting woman. She works in the record business. She started as a marine biology major. Interesting. And she'll tell you a story about how Jason Mraz gave her something that she couldn't take on an airplane.
You're I didn't know what to do.
What do I do with
an avocado? I don't know if he knew I was getting on a plane, in his defense, but I was getting on a plane, so I was like...
Give you a quick update on the sober summer, and I'll run down Mental Health Monday. It's all coming up on episode 4 of Riggs Off the Radio. But first, a message from one of my sponsors.
Hello, I'm Wellington Chesterfield Billingsworth Esquire. My years of English vacuum experience don't suck. Does your vacuum not suck enough? I can clean your hoses and have it sucking better than ever. And my repairs are guaranteed to suck all your money back. Go to my website, gargawithgravy.com, and enter the promo code Gullible for your 10% off purchase of $300 or more. Wellington's Vacuum Repair Emporium. For when your vacuum stops sucking, I make it suck more.
Before we start talking to my wife, a couple updates. People have been asking about my sober summer. I'll tell you the hardest part about not drinking over the summer is explaining to people why you're not drinking over the summer. Why? Everybody's so concerned. How are you not drinking? It's fine. I'm drinking an Arnold Palmer. Leave me alone. We can still have a conversation. You can get drunk and I can drive you home. Sober summer, still going fine. And I've got a couple people who've even joined me as well, like Bad Luck Billy, one of my friends from social media, listens to the show all the time. He's about it. I made it sound like a lot of people are joining my sober summer, but that's not true. Starting on this coming Monday, which would be, what, the 11th? It's the premiere of Mental Health Monday. Remember, I talked about it. I wanted to have a segment where we talk about mental health specifically to men. I mean, mental health in general, but I want to talk to men because I feel that men need to talk about their mental health. So we'll talk to a guy named Travis Pipes on Monday. I met Travis Pipes a couple months ago at a screening for a movie called Suicide: The Ripple Effect. This was a documentary about a guy named Kevin Hines who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived, and now tells his story and speaks across the country, across the world, really, and is a big mental health advocate. In fact, I'd love to have that guy in the show on one of our future episodes of Mental Health Monday, right here with Riggs Off the Radio. So we'll talk to Travis next week, and we'll do a regular Mental Health Monday. I've got a lot of great guests lined up for it, and we'll break the stigma. We'll start a conversation. We'll be very blunt, very curt about mental health, because that's the only way you're going to break down the barriers of mental health and get it out of the darkness and into the light the way it needs to be. That's coming up all with Mental Health Monday, and that starts on this coming Monday, June the 11th. Just this week marks 8 years since I asked my wife to be my wife, and we've been married for 7. It'll be 8 at the end of the year. She works in the record business. That's kind of how we met. We'll get into that, how we met, and how she got her start in the record business. A lot of people say, how do you get your job? What do you do? Well, here's her path and how she chose to get there. Check it out. Episode 4 of Riggs Off the Radio, Meet My Wife. Well, I wanted to bring you on my podcast because you're my wife and I spend probably 80 to 90% of my time with you.
True. That's why we did this.
Yes.
Marriage thing.
Yeah, that's right. So you work in the record business. Yep. And you come from a very diverse background because you've got a dad that is like spoken with presidents. You've got a mom that has 9 different languages that she can speak and she's traveled the world. You've traveled the world. You're an interesting person. So... ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Alana. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Well, yeah, of course. Now, you're a Philly girl, mm-hmm. self-proclaimed. Mm-hmm. You're born in Philadelphia.
Born at University of Pennsylvania Hospital. Mm-hmm.
Her father, Henry, a professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania, started teaching at a pretty young age.
He started teaching there at age 24. Kind of genius. Huh. Remember he sent us that big cup for his 25-year anniversary?
That's right.
Sometimes I'll refer to my wife as Dutchie or the Duchess. That's because she's spent some time in Holland and has Dutch in her blood. After Philly, her and her family, they moved overseas for a while.
When I was five, we lived in Ljubljana, right, which is right there near Croatia, Italy. It's considered Eastern Europe. It's not like the Western European countries like Holland, where I also lived, and everybody speaks English. So I had to learn Slovenian when I was five. I used to come home crying from school every day because I couldn't talk. It was very hard. But when you're
the language barrier.
You're that little, you kind of absorb it really quickly. So I did learn it. And every time I was sad, I remember my mom would buy me apricot ice cream cones. So yeah. But I'd have a lot of apricot ice cream, which is something we don't have here, but it's awesome.
They finally settled back in Philadelphia, where she went to Germantown Friends School. That's a Quaker school, a private Quaker school. It was during that time that she decided she had a love of sharks. She wanted to train sharks and become a marine biologist. Remember, her dad's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, so she could have a full Ivy League scholarship, but she turned it down and instead attended the University of Miami. Why? I mean, other than the weather.
Because that was the only university where you could do marine biology as an undergrad. If I went to Penn or any of most other schools, I would have had to do 4 years of just plain biology major. So, yep, I could do undergrad marine biology, and my dad let me go there, and I was lucky that Penn did pay a part of that because he was there for so long.
So she's studying marine biology at the University of Miami. How the hell did she get on the track to being in the music business? What happened?
This is a crazy story.
I know it's a crazy story. That's why I wanted to talk to you.
So I took this telecommunications class as an elective. And that class, there was a producer. She liked our work. So me and my partner, Jeannie, and she had a TV show called Music Miami that she basically handed over to us to take over. It was on a local cable channel.
Just like
it
Wayne's
wasn't
World,
just
like,
a university
like public
channel.
Public access?
Yeah,
TV?
It was like in Coral Gables, Florida. Like okay. Coral Gables could get it.
So what did they show? Music?
It was called Music Miami.
Music Miami. Was it music videos?
I have like old videos in our basement, actually, somewhere of this show.
Is that what all those VHS tapes are in the basement?
Yes.
Music Miami?
We have some VHS tapes. So I was too young. I was like 19, I think. I was too young to go to the clubs. And I did a lot of the script writing, and I would arrange all the interviews and all this stuff. I developed relationships with record labels because I would call them and, you know, set up all these interviews and stuff for the show. I wound up being able to get an internship at EMI Music in New York in marketing. And I basically changed my major so I could get that internship because they wouldn't pay. So you had to get college credit.
So at this point, she decides she's done with the fish thing. She's going to go to the music biz.
I basically realized that like this was a better way to make a living than sitting in a lab counting shrimp larvae, which is pretty much what I was doing for my marine biology undergraduate work.
Yeah.
I realized I'm not going out on expeditions with Jacques Cousteau. I'm basically going to spend my life, you know, teaching or begging the government for grants to do research. And I was like, you know, this music business thing is kind of happening. I can get this internship. I could do that for my career and just scuba dive and be happy and have that as my hobby.
So she dives into this unpaid internship, lives with her aunt in New York, picks up other side work. So she's basically working 7 days a week to work for free. Eventually, EMI decides they're going to hire her full time.
Right after I graduated, okay. I got into record promotion. So at the time, I was really young and there weren't a lot of girls even doing the job.
Yeah.
And now there are predominantly, I feel like, girl, female reps out there.
But record
when,
reps.
You know.
Now as a record rep, you are responsible for
getting airplay,
music played on the radio.
It's called getting ads. And I just sounded so Wisconsin. Oh my God.
So it's called getting ads.
Getting ads.
You put your ads in a bag.
It's called getting ads. But I didn't even know what an ad was. I basically just learned really fast. I faked it till I made it, and I got it down. I was really lucky to have a lot of really experienced older reps teach me a lot.
Yeah.
When I started, a few really took me under their wing and got me going. And then I've been doing it pretty much ever since. My first label was Virgin.
Virgin.
I'm lucky that I've worked with the same managers my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, they took me with, you know, John Bulos. He took me with him from Virgin to Warner Brothers.
Sure. So you're working for Virgin that was what, like Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. and Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Lenny Kravitz.
Yes. Lenny was like my favorite.
Yeah.
Gosh, it was really cool. Sneaker Pimps.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this, we had some cool music on Virgin Records.
So this is when grunge was kind of popular too. The rock alternative was getting kind of popular.
Yes, the Pumpkins were like huge.
Smashing Pumpkins, yeah. Yep.
Warner Brothers was my next label. That was, you know, the bigger artists there were obviously Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have the pleasure of working with Prince. He had gone away from Warner at that time.
He was kind of doing his own thing already. You just missed him.
My one artist that I regret never seeing live.
Who are some of the bigger artists that you've met? Linkin Park?
Linkin Park I worked with a lot.
You worked with Chester?
Yes.
You remember meeting Chester?
Yes.
What was he like? Is he a nice guy?
The whole band, they were so nice. They were very like work-oriented guys.
Yeah.
Like they didn't mess around. Like even on South Beach, if I gave them a choice to like go to sushi or go to a club, they would choose going to sushi, which on South Beach was most often in a club.
Yeah.
Like we have a picture in a magazine together from that.
And you're next to what? Mike Shinoda and
Johan.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Chester didn't. He wasn't big on coming along for the sush.
She mentioned one of her favorite parts about her job is developing artists, because you get to see somebody start from a little baby band and grow into a big band. Like, obviously, you know who Linkin Park is, but she knew who Linkin Park was before anybody knew who they were.
They were very stoked the whole time on the way about what was happening with their career. Those moments are usually are my favorite. Like, watching the smaller artists become
like 21 Pilots.
Yes.
So now they're selling out 2 and 3 nights in arenas. They're selling out Madison Square Garden.
Yes. And it was really funny to watch even just the venue here locally, the Rave, Eagles Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
They played every room here in Milwaukee. They played the bar room, which was the night of 12 people. Then they moved up to the Rave room, which is 1,500 cap.
Yeah.
And then I watched them sell out the ballroom, which is 4,500. It's amazing to watch that progress. Even Panic at the Disco was like the first show I covered when I joined Lava Atlantic. They were opening for a band called Academy Is, and they were brand new. And my boss was like, you got to go check out Panic at the Disco. And now look at how huge Brendan Urie is, and the evolution of that band over the years.
Oh, yeah. Jason Mraz was another big one that you worked with.
Wow, Jason Mraz is—he might be my favorite, one of my favorites.
You said
of
he
all
remembers
time.
Your name, like when you walk.
He does. He's like a person
from city to city.
I had so many shows with him. You know that they're just an amazing group of people to work with, and they're people. Like we had a lot of shows. You know, we played in Mexico once. I went with them there. You know, so. You develop a relationship, and it's really nice.
One of the frustrating things she said about her job is the misconception that it's just a big party sometimes. You get to just hang out with artists all the time. That must be so fun, yeah.
Because it's not like we're just all hanging out on their buses. People don't understand that backstage and work, you know, is work. You know, some you develop the relationships with where you do hang out, but not all of them. Like when I say I've worked with all of these bands, I don't go to sushi with all of them. Linkin Park, that was unique and special in our relationship. And
Jason Mraz is giving you his avocados from his farm.
Yes, he gave us an avocado in Minneapolis.
He did.
And said to bring it home, and I don't think I could carry it home with me.
Avocados
he wanted
don't travel
to give
well.
Me an avocado. That was random. You're right. I almost forgot about the avocado.
The avocado. I tell that story all the time about how Jason Mraz once gave you an avocado, wanted you to travel with it, but you didn't.
I didn't know what to do.
What do I do with an avocado?
I don't know if he knew I was getting on a plane, in his defense, but I was getting on a plane.
So as a record rep, my wife would be in charge of setting up events with people like Jason Mraz so that listeners can come out and hang out with Jason Mraz and get to know him and promote him, and then they get to buy his music. It's just a big promotion and marketing thing. But she really liked working with Jason Mraz because she said he had a different approach.
He didn't do like typical contest winner things, which are meet and greet or, you know, things at the venue. He always
meet
would do
and greet
like,
is just you walk through, you get a picture, you get an autograph, end of the day, blah, that's
you get
it.
To meet the artist and take your picture.
He liked to do things like the tree planting thing, right?
He liked to give back to communities, and like he would involve contest winners and those kind of things, which were amazing. So he would, you know, find organizations in each city in his tour that would want to support planting trees to make the city greener and healthier and
he's
happier.
He's very sprouty, Jason Mraz. He's very much about the environment and everything.
I love that he did that. He gave out water bottles at his concert. Those things matter.
They do.
They matter so much. And the winners get to have a really unique artist experience.
Yes. So these are the types of things that you set up with your job now, these events where Jason
Mraz
has the tree.
We've always done that.
You do that type of thing to create the marketing and create the buzz around the artists.
That's what we do to create awareness. Yes. And support the artist on tour and support the radio stations that support the artist.
My wife loves the music business, but she took a break from it twice. The first time to sell pharmaceuticals, she went back to music. The second time, she left to sell real estate, which she was really good at, by the way. But she wound up going back to the music business again. And now,
I'm with a very dynamic company that I believe is the future of the business. I'm so excited to be a part of it. It's called Intune Music.
Yeah.
So our company is basically a label for hire. So it caters more to the independent artist that doesn't want to sign a contract with a major label, but they still want the benefits of it. So we're pretty much hired by their projects. So we will work Chance the Rapper when he wants airplay.
Okay.
Because these artists also have management. They're not just out there on their own with a computer. You know, they have a team behind them.
Yeah.
And they choose to work with our company when they want airplay, when they decide they want radio airplay. All formats, top 40, rock, alternative, pretty much everything but country. That's a separate department, but we also have that for country artists. We have an entire country division, but I don't work the country stuff. I do what's called pop promotion, which is pop, adult, rock, and alternative.
Right. And I like that you have a job like this, because it means that I get to keep my job, because people are still coming to radio for new music. People still come to radio for
it's their number one place
that people find new music is on the radio.
It is interesting that is a well-documented fact. At the same time, that's why you may get sick of some of the songs you play, because the average person is still discovering it when they tune in.
Yeah.
So you as a radio station may have to play that song a lot before it connects, like really connects with the audience. And then when it really does, sometimes it's right away.
Yeah.
Like I'm working The Big Boy, The Big Boy All Night, that song connects right away.
Yeah.
Other songs take a little longer. Then you see it show up in Shazam, it's number one. It's like, boom, it just connected.
Nice.
And the streams and the sales, and that's what we do. And I also just sent a video out of one of our artists hearing her song on the radio for the first time. Like, that's a great moment. Like, I work with Lindsay Sterling, and we were in the car in Green Bay, and I just picked her up from the airport, and she turns on the radio, and there's her song. And she's just, that moment is just magical, watching an artist hearing her song for the first time.
Yeah, kind of like you mentioned earlier, how you like watching these artists grow and develop.
And just watching the power of breaking that new artist, because there has to be another Linkin Park. There has to be the next Mraz. There has to be the next. There always has to be the next.
There's always somebody in the Raptors.
The next 21 Pilots. Awesome. So watching that is the magic of what we do.
And you know, you were part of that. Are you on any album liner notes? Did anybody thank you in their CDs? Do you remember any of them?
Well, the most recent one was 21 Pilots.
They thanked you? 21 Pilots
did? On Blurry Face.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
They did.
You've gone from a little girl in Philadelphia to a little girl in Eastern Europe. To a little girl in college, wanting to be with sharks.
Wanting to be with sharks since I was six. That was my own passion.
To hanging out with musical artists and working with radio stations. And
yeah, I'm really lucky. Like, this career was just such an accident.
Yeah.
I loved it so much right away. Like, when my first promotion job, Virgin Records, out of college.
And you loved it so much.
I used to hate weekends. I loved my job so much. And, like, I just... That's why, like, you get crazy sometimes. You're like, you're working so hard, but I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I get stressed because it is really stressful.
Yeah.
But I really do love it.
Music.
Which is where I belong, is
music.
The music business.
That's always
and
been
I think
because
it was an accident and never my dream, I'm always thinking if I should be doing something else, maybe in the back of my mind.
But no.
But the two times I've done it, I know every time I want to come back. So
yeah.
You really learn something.
Your heart is with the music industry, the music business.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, these people kind of like raised me, groomed me, and actually my VP that I work for now, the guy that founded Intune Music, was one of my VPs at Virgin and Warner Brothers. So I've been with him my whole, the only label I was not with him at was Lava Atlantic.
Yeah.
So
see, we took a little journey down your life.
We did. I didn't think it was so interesting, but...
No, you're interesting as hell, dude.
And then we met, should we say where we met? At a James Blunt event.
Yeah, that's how we met, obviously.
In Atlanta.
You being in the music business and me being on the radio. I used to be a program director, so I used to make the decisions on radio stations.
Yeah,
I used
not
to
in my territory, though. So
right. You were always the hot chick that I could never get, and then I got you.
I don't know how it happened.
I don't know either. I was very aggressive, probably.
You were.
I was.
We were really good friends for a long time, like going through each other's relationship issues together. And then one night he was just like, you have more fun with me than any of these guys. Tonight I'm paying. This is a date. Yep. I'm like, oh, you can pay, but this is not a date.
It was a date.
But then a couple weeks later, you went in for a kiss.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yep. By the way, this is our engagement anniversary is this week. Did you know that?
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. June 6th.
Yes, which is why I wanted to put you on the podcast this week as well.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that romantic?
And you proposed to me at the same place that we had our first kiss.
See?
For those who want to know.
I make
if
notes
anybody
about
cares.
Things like that. If anybody's still listening, they care.
That's awesome.
Thank you to my wife, Alana. Thank you for coming on this week to a special edition of Riggs Off the Radio with my wife.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to introduce the world to you so now everybody knows.
Thank you.
Probably more than they need to.
Thank you so much for checking out another episode of Riggs Off the Radio with my wife. Next week on the podcast, we'll be talking to a couple dads for Father's Day, maybe even my own father, my good father, the one that, you know, raised me and made me the dude that I am today. We're also going to go to the Goodwill corporate location where they do all this e-recycling. You're not going to believe some of the stuff that gets donated and what they can do with it and how they can turn it around. And all the time when you're shopping at Goodwill, they're like, every time you shop here, you help somebody get a job. It's true, and I'll tell you all about it next week with Riggs Off the Radio. Enjoy the rest of your night, your day, your afternoon, your weekend, your workout, your shower, your crap, whatever you're doing when you're listening. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you next time. Make good life decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.